it's 2 years between things, and there's always some who have done it before and some who haven't. So it's kind of a learning experience for all of us every 2 years. Why don't you all take a minute and introduce yourselves? Because I know that some of you have been here before, but for some of you it's new. So we want to start with Tony.
Okay, I'm Anthony Bowen, and I'm commonly called Tony. Hello, everybody.
Hi,
and I'm Linda Bowen.
Hi. That's not my wife, though.
Steve Frenny.
Nikki Chavis.
Preston Whaley.
I'm Jeffrey Blitt.
The young lady who just stepped out is Kelsey Jensen, and I'm Mary Boland. For years, I've done this pretty much. I've been the only staff person who's really handled it. And as we all get older, maybe that's not such a great idea. So some others are going to start stepping in and learning what the process is and going through that. I did have on the agenda for tonight to select a chair, but realizing that you're all kind of in the room for the first time, that may be something you want to put off till the next meeting, kind of listen to what folks have to say and go from there. Because it would be up to you to nominate yourself or one of the others and then select that chair, but we could push that off if you, that would make you more comfortable. I have your election guidebooks, and these are kind of your Bibles for how to do an election in the town. Since Nikki and Steve joined us just a few weeks ago for the first time, they already got their copies. I am going to give you sections that are to be added. And I'll go through what's in there relatively quickly. But for right now, if you will turn to section two, it's Appendix A, the second page is a schedule, it's kind of a checklist of various dates. Most of these dates are more pertinent to me, they're reminders to me of when I need to get the legal advertising done and just different milestones in the election process. But this gives you an idea of what the calendar looks like between now and October 6th. Nothing really that you need to be concerned about right now, but obviously if as you're glancing over it, you have any questions, let me know. So the main dates that we need to be concerned with are, first of all, September 4th, which is the deadline both for voter registration and candidate filing. We will also begin accepting absentee applications. Sorry. The Worcester County Board of Elections actually handles all the voter registration. They update our roll as appropriate. Let's see if I can get this straight.
Even if you do it like that, I could just see everyone a moment ago.
No, it should straighten out. I think I just had the weight off. Make sure it's still transmitting now, please. Okay. Let me get the balance fixed. Oh, how quiet it is. Smash into it. I'm sorry, I don't understand.
Something loose.
Maybe the equipment is starting to go. That might explain our problem last night.
I know it's not.
to some of the more kind of complicated deadlines. September 29th is the deadline for absentee applications to be submitted by mail. That means if somebody wants to mail it in, I have to have it in my hand by September 29th. The postmark is not sufficient to meet that deadline. October 1st is the deadline for me to mail out absentee ballots and any applications that have been received. October 2nd is the deadline if people want to actually come into the office and apply for absentee. I can help them with that. And then October the 6th is the actual election day. So I have had questions already, and you may, as board members, about absentee applications. We can't start accepting them until September 4th, but the application itself will be on the website right around September 1st, so people can go download it. I just won't be able to actually accept it until the 4th. So we'll go through the guidebooks really quickly.
Mary, I have a question. It doesn't deal with absentee voting or whatever. But suppose that I wanted to assist a candidate that's running for office.
You cannot.
Thank you.
Yes, that's one of those things. You obviously can't run for office, but you also cannot be involved in the campaign.
Okay, thank you.
So the first section is kind of a general overview of the way that elections work in the town. A lot of the same information I just went over. It explains who the Board of Supervisors of Elections is, what their responsibilities are, what their role is in the election. Talks about the registration of voters, how candidates are nominated, which is obviously pretty much they self-nominate by filling out forms that they get from me. They have to meet minimum requirements. Registered voters live where they are running. In other words, if they're running for District 2, they have to live in District 2, that sort of thing. And they have to have lived within the town or within that area for a year prior to the election. The handling and preparation of ballots, that is something we will get into as we get closer to Election Day. It's not terrifically complicated, but there are two or three steps. And there's no sense in really getting into it now without you being able to see what you're going to be working with. What was that? You? you know, a lot of what's in here talks about the role. Yes.
Are you like somewhere in the book?
I'm sure. I'm in the first section. I'm just kind of.
You went back to the first section?
Yes. Yeah. A lot of what's in here talks about the role of the Board of Elections, and basically everything as you go through it, you are certifying that the process is correct, but it's really town staff, in particular me, that's doing most of the legwork, the day-to-day preparation and that kind of thing. Let's see, again, we're getting more toward Election Day, and that's just something that... What I would suggest is read through that section on your own, maybe a couple of times, sort of get a sense of what it is. It's very hard to describe it without the materials in front of me, and I won't have them until closer to Election Day. That's just the nature of the beast. But as we do get closer to Election Day, we will have a training session, so to speak, where you'll have pretty much the actual materials in front of you, and you can see how it goes through. But you've all voted. You're all familiar with going into a polling place. There's lots of signs up telling you who, you know, where to go, who to speak to. When you get up to the table, there's a person there who's going to ask you who you are. And what's a little different about our election, because they are so small, we do paper ballots rather than a machine. But we'll get into all that, again, as we get a little closer. We are preparing, just so that you know, we're giving a lot of thought this year to social distancing and how we're going to accomplish that over the next few weeks. We will be going to the police department in Buckingham, church to look at the layout and really figure out how we're going to do this. We're purchasing, what's it called, PPE, masks, looking at the acrylic shields to sit between you and the voter, taking into account everything that we possibly can to make sure that it's a safe and good environment for everybody. We are strongly encouraging people to absentee vote. They don't have to have a reason. Back in the day, you used to have to say you were on vacation or you were ill or whatever. You don't need to do that anymore. You just need to make the request. That hopefully will cut down the number of people who are actually trying to vote live on election day.
Right, I have a question.
Yes.
Well, the folks that, and I'm curious, the folks that have done this in the past, your most memorable experience in all the years you've done this, do you want to share?
I don't have anything that was remarkable. It was just greeting people and instructing.
And it's a long day.
Yeah, it is a long day. No question about that.
Indeed.
It is a long day. Not to get too far off track, but on that note, you are there from basically 6:30 in the morning until it's done. You either need to bring your food with you or have someone bring it to you. You cannot leave.
That is acceptable?
Sorry?
That's what I'm saying. That is acceptable to have it brought to you?
Oh, absolutely. Sure. Okay, yeah, you're not in isolation. you can have food delivered in if you want. They know. Yeah.
Okay.
Have Uber Eats visit you.
What about for the folks that have done this before with that long day? What could the town do for them to help a little bit to lessen that blow?
That's a good point.
Any ideas?
What can the town do to make that long day a little bit easier? Bottles of water or juice or granola bars?
Food makes people happy, right?
Yeah.
Coffee. Juice.
Okay. Juice. All right. Well, we'll talk about that more as we get closer.
All right.
Yeah, think about that. Because you really are literally stuck in that building for a minimum of 12 hours. There's five on the board. There will be additional poll workers hired for the day.
Okay.
And then the three of us will be available, as needed.
Okay. How about music at a minimum?
I'm sorry?
How about music at a minimum?
I don't know. I've never had that asked.
I'd prefer classical.
I mean, yeah, I would say that it's
on music. You can play the music.
let's see. Yeah, the section on election preparation and election day, just kind of read through that a couple of times and get a sense of what goes into it. When it boils right down to it, while we will be available to assist, we have to maintain kind of an arm's length from the process for obvious reasons.
Right.
So it really, that is when it's turned over to the five of you. You are the board. You are the ones really running the election. So just keep that in mind and keep the fact that you're the authority on that day. Speaking of issues that they've had in the past, most of the time I think most of the issues have been related to people thinking they live in a certain district and they're at the wrong polling place, and that can be kind of frustrating, but it's easily enough dealt with. We do, when you draw district lines, they have to get drawn somewhere. So we actually have some situations in which someone might live almost directly across the street from a polling place, but their polling place is the other place.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. So you occasionally get that kind of thing with someone, well, this is stupid, I just live over there, why do I have to go? It just, lines have to get drawn somewhere. Those are most of the kind of problems that we've encountered in the past, are people just insisting that they are registered to vote. The Worcester Board of Elections is on hand for us for the whole day. If you ever get anyone who is really questionable, we can call them. They will look through their records and figure that out. But we have not the issues that have been readily, that have not been readily solved in just a few minutes. So, okay, moving on through the book, section two, the first sheet is the list of the actual board members, the five of you, and some general information about how the board functions. If any of your information on here is incorrect, or if you want to list an additional phone number or an email address, please let me know as soon as possible, and I'll get this updated. That second page, again, was that checklist that we went through a few minutes ago. The third thing that belongs in this section is a list of the materials for Election Day. And because we are working through the social distancing and that sort of thing, that will be provided to you later on once we have a better sense.
My section three is empty.
That is not in there.
Okay.
That will be provided.
All right, thank you.
You'll basically be given a big tote box with everything you need in it. So that list will help you to know what you've got.
Homework.
And that kind of thing. Okay. Section three is the paper ballot instructions, again, that will come later once, you know, we're able to kind of provide you actual examples so that you know what you'll be looking at on Election Day. Section four is the election district information. You've got two sections here, and I'm sorry, I meant to staple them together, but I guess I didn't want to. One is alphabetical by district, the street names, and the other is alphabetical by street name itself. In other words, somebody comes in and says, I live in whatever, you can look on here and confirm what districts they're in and therefore where they should be voting. And at the very back of that section is a big map of the town. That's often what people really want to see when you're trying to identify where they belong. Just show me a map. Section five are the forms that the candidates complete and the forms that are relevant to the absentee voting process. Excuse me, and those are in there pretty much for your for your reference, so that you know the other side of the election story. Then sections six and seven are the sections of the town charter and town code that pertain to the election process. Now, if you need something to get to sleep with at night, I highly recommend those sections for your bedtime reading. Section eight will fill up as we go. That will be the legal notices that were required to run in the newspapers for advertising the election. As they get completed, I'll add to those sections so that you have that information with you on election day. And I know that I go through all this very quickly, but please, any questions at all, even if you don't think of them right now, reach out to me and I'll be happy to answer anything. For most of you, the questions are going to be more, having not done this, or like I said, having only done it a few times and 2 years ago, it just takes some refreshing your memory. But don't hesitate to ask. Okay. Now, we are going to review the applications of those who have filed to run for office. I don't make copies of these because they are very official documents. But what I would like you to do if you start is you kind of will pass them along. What you're looking for, now I have already gone through and made sure that the candidate is eligible to vote, he's registered, and she is registered. I guess I should use the new day. I can't get used to that either. Registered to vote, they live where they say they live and have lived there for a year. Financial disclosure forms have been filed either for an incumbent. They should have been filed before April 30th of this year. They're kept on file with the administration office. New candidates have to file their financial disclosure when they file for office. Those forms are not in this packet. All you need to certify to is that they did turn them in. The Ethics Commission actually gets the forms for review.
Maybe you got the names down?
I'm not sure what you mean.
I just want to...
Sure, of course.
Okay, thank you.
Of course. Actually, I probably should have provided... Hold on, let me give you some paper.
Okay.
I've got a notebook here. Do that. And then once you have all looked over those, basically indicate that you agree with my assessment that they're qualified to run as they, as I have indicated, I have another form that you will sign. And again, please, don't hesitate to ask any questions. If there's anything you don't understand about the candidate filing form, let me know and I'll explain it. But it's a lot easier for me to kind of review them as we go along or as they're turned in than to ask you to do it all in one shot tonight. So I'll give you a few minutes to look that over.
Can I ask an off-topic question?
Absolutely.
Do you know why we don't hold our elections on the National Election Day?
Because they are separate. They're not at all connected.
No, I understand they're not connected, but why don't we hold them the same day?
Because the county, the Worcester County Board of Elections, won't run our election for us.
So even if we also ran it, you just mean we can't be on the same ballot or there at the same time or using the same facilities?
That's not impossible. I believe Ocean City actually does it that way. There are a lot of logistical loops to jump through, though. Basically, mostly because of the districts. People may go to a particular polling place for their county, state, or national election, but it may be different for the town election. We wouldn't be able to combine those populations in such a way to guarantee that they're going to do all their voting in one polling place.
So it's possible, we just don't do it. We just wouldn't want to make it easier on the people who vote, you know, on the county level, state level, national level, to go on the same day, you know, to change their voter, their place where they would vote.
I don't see how we could. We could not guarantee that our election district populations would match up with the county, state, and federal. Their election districts are geographically completely different than ours.
I mean, I only ask because I feel like we would get a much higher rate.
No, I understand what you're... I do understand what you're asking. It's just... Although it seems simple on the surface, it's not.
And then the other question I had was, in the state of Maryland, you can register to vote the day of the election. Do you know why we don't do that for the town?
I don't believe that's true.
I just read it again.
I don't believe that you can register and vote on the same day.
And you register with the county, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I just Googled it.
Well, our election process is completely separate from theirs. Other than the county basically doing us the favor of maintaining our voter registration list, mm-hmm. something that they don't necessarily have to do. Some towns do their own voter registration, much larger towns. Mm-hmm. They're completely separate processes, really, really unconnected.
What should that occur, then we definitely need to direct that to here.
I'm not sure what you mean.
In following along, what did you ask about registering on the day of election? Mm-hmm. I said, should that happen to occur, then it that matter would come here.
Well, I mean, it really wouldn't. We wouldn't be able to do it because we don't register voters. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The county does.
Okay.
So, you know, even if they were able to walk into our polling place with a registration form, we don't process it.
Okay.
someone, yes, we have a couple more meetings before the election, and if more people file in between now and then, they'll go through this process again.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
There's no sense in sitting on these candidates till September,
right,
when we can go ahead and get them certified and go on with this. You know, and to add to the discussion about where to hold the elections and that kind of thing, again, you are a board of the town. You are an official board of advisory board to the mayor and council. If there is something that you want to take to them, to ask them to put forth, you certainly can. That is absolutely part of what you're here for, is, you know, to take those kinds of things to them if you feel that they should be discussed. While you guys keep going through that, were there any other questions that you had about what your function will be on election day or between now and then?
It seems like you're going to get to that, I mean, unless you feel like you touched on it, but your item 5.
Yeah, that's what I'm sort of, just while you're reviewing this, if there was anything in particular that anybody wanted to talk about.
His name is pronounced Weig.
Weig.
Okay.
I
It's a form they can turn in later if they desire to. I don't think any of them turned in a designation poll watcher form. That's a form also they do not need to actually turn in. We ask them to turn it in ahead of time, but they're not required to. Thank you. That basically tells us who they may have on hand the day of the election to sit in the polling place. They either have to use the form that we provide them, which they can photocopy as much as they like, or they have to have a handwritten form saying, I'm so-and-so, and I give this person the right to sit as a designated poll watcher. But again, that's something that they can even bring the day of the election. So, as board members, if you happen to take notice of campaign materials or signage that you're not 100% sure is appropriate, you can call it into question. There are regulations about the signs and different things within the town code, which is in the back sections of the guidebooks. Pretty much the main rule is they can't put anything out or any signs up any more than 60 days before election day. And then they have to be removed within seven to ten days.
They have to remove them?
They have to remove okay. them. They need the property owner's permission to put them up. Every now and again, we'll get a phone call from someone that said, hey, this sign showed up in my yard. And if they didn't give permission, then the answer is throw it away. If that's what you want me to. We have people who will bring signs here and leave them on my doorstep. And typically what I do at that point is call the candidate and say, hey, your sign's here. You know, come get it or not. It's up to them. Absolutely cannot place signs on public property, like, you know, if they popped up in the parks or something like that, our folks would take them out before that. Anything you guys want to ask me? Are there still a couple of these floating around out there? Yeah, okay.
You know, along those lines, I don't recall seeing many signs around for our elections candidates.
Not in the last couple that I can think of. A few. We'll start passing this around. This is the actual certification. Basically saying that you all have reviewed the candidates' forms and agree that they meet the known qualifications to run. Just a little bit. You had picked up. It's fine either way.
Where'd you find these folders? Huh? Where'd you find these folders? I like it.
They're standard.
Okay. Ooh, another lefty in the room.
All right. This one, there were some changes made, I believe, because I believe that Councilmember Boyd has announced his resignation. Had he announced before or after we met?
Before.
Okay, then it may be the same, but I wanted to be sure, because I had to make a couple of minor changes to the candidate form based on that, so I just wanted to be sure you had that appropriate form. Okay. On the topic of roles and responsibilities, here is your very first role as a Board of Elections member. One of the things that the Board of Elections...
Is this your particular?
Well, and there's that. One of the things that you are tasked with doing is reviewing the preliminary voter roll. It's very old-fashioned role. But local boards have to review the roll to determine, basically what you're going to go through it is, if you know of anyone who's still in the roll who has passed away, moved away, those are really about the only two things. You'll make a note to their name saying that, you know, this person moved or this person died. You can really only review what you know. You're certainly not expected to read through every name in there. As I said, it's sort of an old kind of rule, but it's still out there. Once you've gone through it, if you come across somebody, highlight their name, just write deceased or moved, flag that page, and then if you can return those to me by the 29th so that I can get them back to the county. I will tell you that just the fact that you've gone through and done it does not mean that that person is not going to show up on the roll at the end of the year. But there it is. It gives the county information that helps them to better purge the rolls. I think these days, as the whole databasing system gets better and better, the rolls are being purged more regularly than they used to. But this is one of our functions. If you could just do that over the next couple of weeks, that would be great. I provided you with a highlighter and tabs to stick on the pages, and then once you bring those back to me, I'll combine them into one thing to get to the county's attention. Any questions about that? Okay. The only other thing then that I had was just kind of general discussion, and just still more opportunity for you to ask questions or clarify things. This initial meeting is very preliminary. We'll get more into real function at the next couple of meetings.
Will you ask about the soft music?
Yes, I will find out about the music. I doubt if it's a problem, but I will certainly ask. So
there's nowhere in here that has an outline of our functions.
Well, yes, the code that talks about what the Board of Elections does. That first section that talks about election preparation, day of the election, that gets into some more step-by-step of what you'll actually be doing on election day. That's the section that I suggested you read. It's not necessarily going to mean a whole lot to you without the materials in front of you to kind of see, but it should give you a sense of how the day will go. Okay, if nobody has any more questions, our next meeting will be Tuesday, September 8th, and I will send out reminders. Again, if you have a change to email or phone number on that list, please let me know so that I can update that. If you have an email address, that would make things a lot easier to reach out to you. And that's about it.
Get back to the 7 o'clock news.
I thank you all. And